Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and today we've got a DIF4Q episode. What does that mean? It means I'm asking a filmmaker the four questions, which are favorite films of all time, a film you think is underrated, a film you think is overrated, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out. Today, the four questions are going to be answered by Tim Cruise. If you listened to the podcast before this one, you'd know Tim directed and produced The Blind Center, which is a fantastic comedy, something I hope launches a series. Hope we get a lot more of The Blind Center, but you just don't know what's going to happen in this world. And later this summer, you're going to be able to see The Blind Center for yourself. But for now, go to theblindcentershortfilm.com, and there you can check out all you need to see about the film. But I think that's enough setup. Let's hear Tim's four questions.
First one is, and I remember what Mr. Detrolio, my Latin 1 teacher, showed it to class, and which is ironic because it had nothing to do with Latin except that it was Romans, and that is Spartacus.
The original Spartacus.
The original Spartacus with...
Was this high school Latin?
High school Latin.
Wow, you took Latin in high school?
Yeah, I took Latin in high school because... English was my weaker subject on the SATs, and I knew that if I understood the roots, I can at least decipher things better.
Of course.
So Spartacus. It was the story of a slave who rose up and fought an empire, and I think so much of my sensibilities. I remember watching Gladiator, and my friend and I, we watched it three times in one night. And we went outside and we were like sword fighting. And then I saw Spartacus and I was like, this is so much better than Gladiator. it sucked because we had 40 minute periods. So we'd watch it in 40 minute chunks. And it's a really long movie. But I remember I couldn't wait till, you know. And then at the end of that week in Latin class, I went to Blockbuster and I got it. God, I must have paid like $30 in late fees on that one movie alone. It was like a double VHS tape. I love the uprising. I love the rebellion. The friends who stood up next to him to the end. The sacrifice. And it's one of those movies I know... I actually refuse to analyze the filmmaking basic stuff.
Really? Because you do have that eye. Just talking to you, when you watch a film, you're also watching how it's directed.
How it's done.
That one, you don't.
I try not to touch that one. It is up there on a pedestal as, for me, like one of my favorite movies. And it was the movie that, to me, says, I can inspire people to move and to rise up and to take up their cross, right? To take up their purpose. And just like Spartacus did.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story.
Yeah, it's a good one. Second one is French New Wave. It was, and I didn't watch it until I was in film school. This is Breathless. Breathless for me was like, it was like, I never heard of Jean-Luc Godard. I had no idea who he was. But there was something about Breathless where he would just jump cut, the character would be here. And it was like, I remember going like, wait, this is wrong. This is all weird. And
right, he's breaking rules.
Bop, 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 bop. You know, he's like, wait, what happened? What did he do to the police officer? I didn't see him die. I just saw a gun. I just saw or heard a sound. And did they forget to roll the camera, you know? And then he's like running and he's got this cigarette. He just looks cool as hell. And then the woman... This woman with short hair. What is she yelling? Like something Herald News. I've never seen
How old were you when you saw it?
I was in... I'm 17, maybe.
Right, so that's when you were doing your own... 17. That's when you were just studying film at that point.
Well, this was the Saturday classes at NYU.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I just watched that. And this is... NYU was great because... They gave, like, because of them, I saw City of God, the Brazilian film.
Yes.
Because of them, I watched, like, I, like, literally went into the hole of all these it was like the first, it was like my a veil was lifted, and it was like there are all these indie and these foreign films that I've never seen before, and this one, this black and white film, and they're sitting in their bedroom, they're smoking the cigarettes, and I was like, this is so cool. And it was like, I've never seen anything that cool. You know, I've never seen any, I didn't see a single Tarantino film until I went to college. Mm-hmm. So I've never seen even interpretations of Godard in modern cinema. So that was like the first time I saw jump cuts and that style and that, and it was really special for me, and I still regard it. It's like Stephanie, it was like, I can't believe this is one of your top. Is that really one of your top three? That's such a pretentious movie choice, you know.
She go, you went over your top three with her.
Yeah. And she goes, really, Breathless? Have you watched it? I'm like, I watch it once a year because it was like it's on Hulu, and it's like it's a movie I put on in the background, you know. The betrayal in the end. And she said, I love her short hair. I had a thing for girls with short hair for a real long time. And then the third one, which is usually the fifth of the thing, is Mean Girls.
Mean Girls.
Yeah. I love Mean Girls. Tina Fey is one of my favorite writers. And there is just so much, like, maybe I relate to her because she's an outsider coming into an American high school and seeing how absurd everything is. Maybe stop trying to make fetch happen, or jokes like, it's like, you know, what's her name picked on me because she said that I was a slut, but I can't help it if I've got a wide set vagina and a heavy flow. You know, like Tim Meadows' character is like, yeah, I can't. You know, he's like encouraging the crowd to be like, can someone?
Because it's a very verbal film. Yeah, it is. Most of the comedy is in the verbal,
exactly,
in the verbiage.
And if you look at the transitions when Gretchen Wiener is in the film talking about Caesar, and she's like, well, Caesar can't have everything. She, you know, he's like, why is Caesar in charge? He's like, what's wrong with Brutus? You know, and then she turns, and the camera turns, and the match cuts to her talking to Lindsay Lohan's character about the bully, and basically, you know, taking two parallels and making it a seamless
scene. And the bully was McAdams, right?
Yeah. Rachel McAdams. She was so good, you know?
So good.
And in the end, that it was just, she was just an angry person who was hurting everybody around her, you know? And it solidified my theory, too, because I was an angry kid growing up, trying to hurt people around me because I wanted them to share how uncomfortable and how hurt I was, right? Hurt people. And that the nature of pain is cyclical until we choose to end it ourselves. And that's what her character, our hero's character, did. I don't know. I love Mean Girls. Mean Girls, I remember being 20 and I got a bunch of my friends from film school and we were smoking some herb. The living room, and we analyzed it scene by scene. I think it's one of those things. And at the end, we all unanimously said that Mean Girls is a classic and a movie that should be studied.
Really?
Yeah.
Tina Fey wrote it, but she didn't direct it, right?
No. I forget who directed it too.
And I actually know that it was based on that
book.
Nonfiction book, yeah. Queen Bees and Wannabes.
Yes.
Which is very... I have friends who are teachers, and we're raising a 10-year-old here, yeah. So there's a girl. So we were actually given that book by someone just like, before she gets to middle school, read this book.
Yeah. She should watch that movie.
Yeah, I know.
That's
a good favorite. That's what the favorites are supposed to be about. By the way, you got Breathless and Mean Girls side by side.
Yeah, right,
which I think shows a nice breadth of taste.
And then what was the second one? Overrated?
The second one is underrated.
Underrated.
A film you think doesn't get the praise it deserves.
Huh. Okay. Taylor Sheridan's Wind River.
I don't know it.
Oh.
Sounds familiar.
Taylor Sheridan wrote A Hell or High Water two, 2-3 years ago. And that movie was my favorite movie that year. It was, to me, it was like, this is the portrait of America that people should see. This is one of those. And Wind River is the story of a woman who was killed on an Indian reservation. And the only person they sent was this one FBI agent. And she enlists the help of a hunter to track down who killed her. It's a beautiful movie about grief, about pain and suffering and hurt, set amidst a movie about the indifference of America towards the people that they took it from. And it is about, you know, there is injustice all around, but I think one of the biggest injustices that exists is how Americans treat Native Americans. It's the stain, you know? It's like, we hold America at this pedestal. We love it. It's our country. But there's so much blood that it's on, that it's like, when I hear of, like, all this suffering and all this pain, and I'm like, you know, in a way, I'm kind of like, good. Good. We need to suffer for what we've done, what we've allowed to happen. You know, and it's gnarly that I think that way. It's very vindictive of me to be honest and to think. But
yeah, but you're also able to see it from the other side, and you know, when there it was a war, and one side won, and how the victor treats the vanquished after a war
says a lot about
a culture.
Yeah. I mean, it was terrible. I remember growing up, I rooted for the Indians.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm just that kid, you know? So, get him! Like in that, what is that movie Inarritu did? With, it was recent. It was his Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
He won the Oscar for it. Oh my gosh.
With the bear?
Yeah.
Why am I Unforgiven? No.
No, that's a different bear movie.
I'm blanking.
I'm blanking too. But I mean, like that scene where they're attacking the poachers. I was like, yeah.
What's interesting is I know that you're identifying with the Native Americans in those films.
Uh-huh.
I know that the black community in America, when Bruce Lee came around, he was the first non-white hero on film too.
Uh-huh.
And that's why that the African-American community loves Bruce Lee and loves martial arts films. Because finally a non-white could kick white ass.
Absolutely.
And it didn't happen until then.
No. And it's so wild that, like, you know, and then Wind River is, I watched it in the theaters and I cried. And I watched it the other day, actually. And my father passed away back in November. And there is this... so there's this scene. And it's got... the movie stars Elizabeth Olsen, Jeremy Renner. And Jeremy Renner is the hunter. And Elizabeth Olsen is this FBI agent from Las Vegas that they sent to, like, Montana. Because she was the closest agent to deal with the murder on the reservation. And one of the big problems was that the cause of death wasn't the murder. It was the fact that when you were running in the snow so fast and the air was like negative 20, the air gets into your lungs and freezes the alveoli and crystallizes it, causing it to rupture and bleed, and you actually drown in your own blood.
Mm-hmm.
And so she died running away. From something.
Right, so whatever pursued her was the murder.
And so the cause of death was not murder. And so therefore, you know, she's like struggling to find this. And so she's questioning the parents of the girl that was killed. And she's there with the reservation sheriff. And she's like questioning the father, and he's this stoic man, you know. He's like, you know, and then is almost abrasive and like refuses to answer her personal questions. And she's obviously suspicious. It's like, why are you not sitting there mourning or more upset that your daughter was just killed? And she goes, I'd like to talk to your wife. And then she goes into the bag, and the woman is, she's cutting herself. She's in mourning, and she was shocked. And the majority of the movie is about her, how she doesn't understand anything. And she comes back into, and it's like just silence. And then you hear Jeremy Renner knock, because he finally just arrived. And he opens, and you just see this man, this stoic man, break down and just weep and like hug Renner. And Renner is just, and then you learn that Jeremy Renner also lost his wife, and that he only gave himself permission to mourn if someone could understand what he was going through. And so the sheriff closes the door, and like Elizabeth Olsen is just standing there, just realizing how wrong she was. That he wasn't going to grief to her.
Yeah.
Because she didn't earn that. You know,
right.
She wouldn't understand. And just how powerful he sustains the, how people cope with grief. And there's like this line in there too, where he's talking to the father. He goes, don't let this anger consume you. You know, the more you let it consume you, every memory of her that is good will die. And he goes, and you, when the grief comes, you let it come and you take it. And he said, you take the pain, because that is the only way you will remember all the good about her. And I'll be like, God, you know, I'm just like, and Stephanie's like, man, you are a crier. And I'm like, yeah, I'm a crier, especially when it gets me. And that movie is like one of those movies that just like, I wish more people saw this.
Yeah.
It was an original film that went out to theaters. But I don't know. I actually don't know how it performed or anything like that. And
I know someone else mentioned it to me. I think it might have been someone else's answer for question number four, which is like that lesser known movie you should seek out.
Yeah.
But
Wind River.
So you're not saying it's a bad movie.
Uh-huh.
You're saying it's overrated, that people make more of it than they should.
I wish I gave this one more thought. The ones that really irked me, like Donnie Darko.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Because of the way people love that movie, I hated Jake Gyllenhaal for no reason at all.
Really?
Until I saw Nightcrawler. And then I was like, oh, I like Jake Gyllenhaal again. And the bunny thing, and like, it just, the movie made absolutely no sense. That one, Cloud Atlas. My God. I don't get it.
That was the Wachowskis.
Yes.
With Tom Hanks, right?
Uh-huh. And, okay, it might not be, but there are so many filmmakers that I know that love that movie and love.
Really?
Donnie Darko, and it's just like...
See, it's funny, because I liked Cloud Atlas because I'd heard it was horrible. And I'd heard so many bad things about it that it was finally on HBO or something at some point. And so I watched it, and I'm like, wow, that was pretty good. Maybe I should have the wife watch it.
Oh, man. I don't know. For me, it was like the performances didn't work. The story was just muddled. But I don't know. I guess it's like... It's maybe it stems more for this one filmmaker that I used to be friends with that I argue with a lot. Those are his favorites, you know, to be honest.
Right, so he overrates them.
Because it's like, now that I think about it, I'm like, I don't think many people like Cloud Atlas at all. But I mean, for sure, Donnie Darko for me is just...
Donnie Darko is highly praised.
Highly praised, and I'm just like, what?
And it's not for you?
No, it's just I don't like bashing movies, right? Because I know how hard it is to make one.
Absolutely.
Like, even The Room, as terrible as it is hilarious. And, you know,
unintentionally, one of the funniest films ever made.
You know, it's because, oh gosh, I think that one was, but Donnie Darko for me is that one. And it's like, there was this other film that I was torn with, this film school film, what was it called? Requiem for a Dream.
Oh.
That one was just like everybody at film school worshipped that
Aronofsky's second.
Yeah.
After Pi.
Yeah.
I think there might have been something before Pi, but maybe not.
Yeah, I call it depressing.
It's funny because I love Pi.
Yeah.
And I thought Requiem for a Dream was a bit of a letdown.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's as good as his other...
No. No, but everyone in film school...
People worship it. I hear it praised all the time.
They use the song for... In all their soundtracks, of all their short films. Someone's always going to kill themselves in the bathtub to that music, you know? It's like... I was like, please.
That gets pretty pretentious.
It gets pretty pretentious. And I loved Darren Aronofsky. My friend used to work for him. And we would go visit him when they were shooting The Wrestler, and he would be dropping acid, riding his bicycle around the Lower East Side in circles. I mean, that man knows how to live.
But okay, so we've gotten your overs, your overrateds, and now you can just let me know of a film, that lesser known film that people should seek out.
This one for me was like, I only watched him because this guy was one of my production teachers at SVA, and the guy's name is Wojtek Jasny. And the movie that he did was called All My Good Countrymen. And it was a Czech film about how the this village had gotten rid of the Nazis and stuff, only to be taken over by the Russians. And it was a state-sponsored film that was subversive, and to the point that Joseph Stalin saw the movie and wanted Wojtek dead, and he had to flee.
So Tim and I continued to talk for like an hour after that, but honestly, it was meandering and political, and I'm just not selfish enough to make you listen to all that. But I really want to thank Tim Cruise for coming in and doing an interview and a DIF4Q. You really got to check out his film, The Blind Center, and probably a lot of his music videos and other work that he does. And I always have to mention, you should go to discoverindiefilm.com. At discoverindiefilm.com, there's all the podcasts, there's just about all the shorts of the filmmakers I've interviewed, there's links to a lot of the features of the filmmakers I've interviewed who did features instead of shorts. There's info about Film Invasion LA that comes up in June and the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in November. And hey, if you like indie film, you should check out the website discoverindiefilm.com. Thank you for listening.